You are listening to the PT and the Gib Dog podcast, episode 51. It's another live pod, this one pre-wedding, as the boys take over the hotel lobby to talk Celtics, Patriots, and Red Sox. Let's do this. All right, another live episode here of PT and the Gib Dog in person. I'm glad late October and November have been better months for us than the summer and the fall. But we are at Mr. John Pearsall's wedding in Burlington, Vermont. Beautiful Burlington, Vermont, by the way.
A little cold.
A little chilly. But the pre-wedding podcast streak continues. We had a good one last year around the same time when we were in D.C., right? Because the Celtics had just started.
A little over a year ago. It was the morning after the 18-inning.
That's right.
Red Sox lost to the Dodgers.
That's right.
Which I didn't make it all the way to the end.
I don't think
anyone did.
Who had the throwing error, the second baseman?
Oh, it was Ian Kinsler.
Ian Kinsler.
Yeah.
You got a World Series ring, don't worry.
But it all worked out.
We were also, very excited about the Kyrie Irving-led Celtics back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess something's never changed. We're also still excited about the Celtics now. Although, one, Kyrie's gone, and then two, just really disappointing news last night with Gordon Hayward fracturing his hand in a beatdown against the San Antonio Spurs. So that was fresh on our mind last night when we were enjoying some nice, tasty fiddleheads last night.
The only thing keeping me from being super depressed about this is the fact that it's John's wedding day. You know, we'll let the joy from that day kind of supersede the pain that I got that I felt last night when seeing that. And like you said, how they were dominating the Spurs. And I think we were talking, when's the last time they actually beat the Spurs in San Antonio? It probably wasn't.
I meant to look it up.
Probably wasn't since like Kevin Garnett and Pierce were on the roster. Yeah. I'm sure, but. You know, played well down there and played some games, but just never seemed to beat the Spurs in San Antonio and looked like they were well on the way to doing it, and they did in convincing fashion. But the news about Hayward, just so disappointing with the start that he's had. Obviously, you could argue he's been their best player
all year.
You know, not an argument. I think he has been their best player, and that's no slight to Kemba Walker, who's off to a great start as well. But just a shame, you know, for Hayward. The good news is, it's probably on a month timetable is what I'm seeing.
I hope so.
Talk is he might have surgery on Monday, and the surgery will help him heal faster.
Yeah.
You're just glad it's nothing to do with his leg or his ankle or anything like that. And that it's his non-shooting hand. Like, if he was going to have an injury that was going to knock him out, this is probably the one you wanted to happen to.
Yeah.
It just stinks because they were, you know, starting to mesh, and then when he inevitably comes back, he's going to have to reintegrate himself a little bit. So that's what stinks, because they've been playing so well together and developing the chemistry. But they have some guys, and I think we talked about how, you know, much deeper this bench is.
Yeah.
They have guys who can step up for the next month. You know, it makes the West Coast trip coming up a little more interesting. Kind of see what those guys have. You know, going out playing five games on the road and against some, you know, really, really good teams out there. Just lousy and sucks, and you feel bad for him. But, he'll be back.
Yeah, I mean, echoing your thoughts, I mean, I feel worse for Gordon Hayward, the person, to have to go through this. I mean, he's basically averaging 20 points, 7 or 8 rebounds, 4 or 5 assists. As you said, the key to the team. I mean, he's the heart of the team, the ball movement. Just really playing the game at his own pace, opposed to having to rely on what Kyrie was doing last year. This is the offense, I think, that they imagined when they signed him. And of course, they hadn't made the trade for Kyrie Irving 2 years ago when they signed him. And I think this is the offense that they really imagined. And clearly, he's comfortable with a Brad Stevens-led led team, given their time together at Butler as well. So it sucks. I mean, again, it's a month. The NBA has the most forgiving regular season. The Celtics are 7-1. You can already pencil them in for the playoffs. They will be a playoff team.
And when he comes back, they'll still be in the top three in the East.
Yeah,
do they maintain the pace of being top? Probably not, but they're still top three in the East.
They're a 3 or a 4. They're probably not a 1 or a 2. That was probably going to happen anyway. So it's not the end of the world. But he could have been an all-star this year, the way that he was playing, right? And clearly that's not going to happen if he misses the next, you know, 15 games or so. Yeah. But it's been really fun to see him kind of be at his Jazz form and the potential that they saw when they signed him to that next deal a couple years ago. But, I think those four, Tatum, Brown, Kemba and Hayward. It's just been so fun every night. You don't know who's got the hot hand, and I think the whole team is very open to moving the ball to whoever's feeling it. And it's Kemba's. You see the smile on Kemba's face, and he scores 14 points, and he's completely happy with that. He loves not having to have the burden that he had down in Charlotte, where he had to score 25, 30 points a night for them to even have a chance. And, you know, Tatum is back to his rookie year form of hitting threes at a, you know, close to 50% clip. We'll see if that sustains, but you see him getting to the rim a little bit more, which I know is something that we talked about a lot. And Jaylen Brown is...
He had a great game last night, and that was encouraging to see after the, you know, after he's been out, you know, he missed those few games with his illness. He had an infection in his leg that was causing a fever. That's doesn't sound fun, but he came back, and even his first game back, even though it didn't show in the stat sheet, he looked like he was fine.
Yeah.
Like, and the good thing was he didn't really miss a beat from that illness, and you could argue he was their best player last night. I mean, I didn't watch the game, you know, a little busy, but looking at the stat sheet, he filled that stat sheet up.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same Jaylen Brown who 2 years ago was the best player in a playoff series that involved Giannis. I'm not going to try his last name on the Sunday morning after too many fiddleheads, but you forget that this is a guy who can be a star. So, 7-1. I mean, we knew we did the first podcast during the Sixers game, and that was the one loss, and then have run off seven straight now. It's a likable team as we expected. It's a fun team, and really looking forward to seeing who is going to step up, as you said. I mean, they have those four, I'll call them stars, and then you have the center spot, which they're still figuring out, I'm sure, later in this pod we'll talk about.
Still waiting for Kander to get back.
Yeah. I mean, when Kander comes back, I mean, I think we both think there might be a trade in the future at some point as well, if we think there's a chance this year. But who, I guess, who do you see stepping up and filling those Hayward minutes over the next month or so?
Well, I think you're going to, you know, we talked a little bit about this last night. I think, you know, we've seen a lot of Grant Williams. I think they closed the Raptors or the Knicks game the week before. Williams was on the floor, you know, the last play. I think it was the Knicks game when Tatum hit the shot. You know, it was the four and then Grant Williams, you know, the four that you talk about and then Grant Williams. So I think you see a lot of minutes from him. You know, I think the guy you're going to see a lot of is Javonte Green. You've been seeing him come off the bench before Semi Ojeleye of late, kind of like mid-second quarter and then mid-third quarter. You're seeing Javonte, even late first quarter in a couple games, you're seeing Javonte Green. And not because, and I know Jaylen Brown was out, but even when Brown came back, I think in that whatever game that was, I think it was the Cleveland or the Charlotte game, Javonte Green was still playing minutes.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see a lot more minutes from him. You know, he's that athletic wing player that, you know, that, you know, two-way player, you know,
can
really can excel. He's really not a great shooter.
Neither is Grant Williams.
No, he's not a great shooter.
Side, yeah.
But when he gets to the rim, he can get to the rim.
Yeah.
And you talk about how, we were talking about how Hayward just looked like Utah Hayward again, was able to get to the basket and, you know, finish at the rim. Javonte Green can do that. You know, so I think you'll see a little bit more of him. I think you'll see a lot more Grant Williams. You know, and you might see more, you know, Brad Wanamaker, Marcus Smart. You know, you probably see some more minutes for them. Not that you weren't seeing Smart, and then, you know, I just think, you know, maybe not necessarily one guy. It'll be a different guy. It'll probably be a different guy every night, depending on the matchup.
Yeah. Who's impressed you most early in the season so far? Like beyond the starters. Of some of the unknown guys, I guess, who's jumped out to you?
I think it's Grant Williams, he plays a role, he plays it well, has really good, you know, feel for the game. You know, a lot of people talked at the draft when they took him that he was very similar to Al Horford, just in, you know, just kind of being that stable presence. And he's a guy who's probably going to be in the NBA a long, long time because he plays that role really, really well. You know, in the preseason, he was shooting the three a lot better than he has so far at the start of the year. So I don't know what that is, or was the preseason the aberration? I don't know. You'd like to see him kind of, I mean, to be more effective, you'd like to see him almost like even get to like what the Semi Ojeleye level was, you know, as far as, you know, knocking down that three. So I'd have to say it was him. You know, a little bit of a slow start for Carson Edwards after the preseason he had, which you kind of had to expect. Although, I think in the Cleveland game he had 13, 14 points. So,
yeah.
And that's actually where he had the big game in the preseason.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Carson Edwards likes playing in
Let's trade him to the Cavs for Kevin Love. You guys want him?
Yeah. I'm down for that. I don't know if the salaries will match, but it's a great idea in theory. But I think I'd have to say Williams for sure. And then, you know what? Speaking of Williams, the other Williams who had a really good game last night, they said, I don't know how many blocks he ended up with against the Spurs last night. But
I think he leads the league in like blocks per 36 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
And the positivity that on Celtics Twitter last night about his defensive performance. I mean, I don't want to say it was overshadowing the sad news about Hayward, but when the Celtics took him late in the first round in that draft, people saw that as an absolute steal because he had a great NCAA tournament for Texas A&M, and maybe that ends up being the case.
Yeah.
But then the also thing too, we talk about a potential deal down the line. If you guys start to overperform, and play well, you've got some trade chips. If this team feels they're in a position to make a run and you're maybe that one piece away, you need some building blocks for a deal like that. So either way, Robert Williams playing out of his mind is a good thing.
Yeah, I think on all the people that we mentioned, so Robert Williams, Grant Williams, and Javonte Green, yeah. I think...
Went to Radford University.
They usually hear them as a 16 seed in NCAA tournaments, right? I think for each of them, the key will be shooting, and especially Grant Williams. And again, he's a rookie. He'll pick it up. But if he can develop that Horford-like touch, you see what a player Al Horford is, and if he could potentially become that. The seeds are there. I mean, as you said, in the preseason, he was able to hit some of those shots. But he needs to continue to work on that outside game, because his inside game is very effective, especially for a rookie. And then you see Robert Williams with shades of who's the center on Houston?
Clint Capella.
A little bit of that Clint Capella to him. Mm-hmm. The fear is always against certain types of opponents. Can he play? Can he not play? But
right.
he does present an interesting matchup.
Because he's not super tall. He's probably only about 6'9".
Yeah.
You
can jump outside the stadium.
They might list him as 6'10", but he might not quite be 6'10".
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is that size issue when it comes to when it'll come to the Jokic's of the world. Yeah. Not that we, play them all the time.
Yeah.
But, even let's look in the East, Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Can he stay with Giannis? Probably not. No one can stay with Giannis.
So we're winning against the Bucks.
Right, no, they did. A Bucks team that's actually, impressing.
Yeah.
That blown lead to the Celtics is really only blip on their radar so far this year.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I've been pretty impressed with Daniel Theis as well.
Yeah.
I think it's funny to listen back to our podcast when we were talking through the Cantor versus Theis versus Time Lord versus Poirier.
Can we talk about that for a minute? Just really interjecting to cut you off.
Can.
We were talking about who's going to start tonight, and I think we made cases for three out of the four except Cantor, and then Cantor started.
Yeah,
the game.
Of course.
Yeah, so that's the way it always works.
Yeah, of course. Good job by us. But Theis, especially with the Cantor injury, Theis has really proven that that he's someone who knows the system very well, knows his role. He's had some trouble finishing this year, but again, I think he was fine the last couple years, so I'm sure that will fade away. He's a threat to shoot three, so he's
actually shooting the three really well.
Yeah, he's hitting the three ball.
And there are times you get frustrated by it, though. You're like, when he's on the floor with Hayward, Tatum, Brown, and Walker, and the shot that they settle for is the Theis three, and he misses it, you get frustrated. But
nothing like the Marcus, that Aaron Baines threes that used to kill you, right?
Your boy Marcus Smart is really... His three ball has improved.
Oh, I know, but he should be
shooting
eight threes
a game. And
they're
obviously not telling him not to take it, though.
Why is Marcus Smart shooting eight threes a game?
Oh, my God, nothing worse than the Baines threes.
That would kill you. That would kill
Although
you.
I miss Aaron Baines, Pat. He looked really good in that center position right now.
He's averaging 15 a game with Phoenix.
That's because he's playing like 40 minutes.
I know
that doesn't work.
I know.
That's not going to work.
When Ayton comes back, I'm sure they'll look good. But, Phoenix is a surprise of the NBA.
Yeah. And we're going to see them on that West Coast trip.
That's right.
And it was a tough one. I think Celtics had to come back from a huge deficit to beat Phoenix last year. While you might have circled that game on the upcoming West Coast trip as one of the wins.
Yeah.
I think the game at Golden State's more of a win than that Phoenix game is at this point.
We're gonna dive into my Golden State pick now. So I said they would be the three seed. I said they would win 50 games. I said that Steph would be MVP. They might be the three seed in the lottery.
Yeah, they're gonna have a top five pick. Isn't that something else?
Yeah, it's
We've got like a Tim Duncan Spurs situation coming here with the Warriors. It looks like they're gonna be so bad that they will be bad enough to have a shot for the number one pick. So they'll get the number one pick in the draft and then return Clay and Steph and all these guys. It's going to be just like the Spurs that one year they tanked and they added Tim Duncan to David Robinson and Sean Elliott and all that crew and went on to win the title the next year.
Is that 97?
Yeah. 96. It's the closest thing to, I think, you're going to see that situation. Possibly see that situation happen. But anyway.
And if it was just Steph getting hurt in preseason or an opening night, you could attribute it all to Steph being hurt. But they got destroyed multiple times with Steph still playing. Lots of negativity coming out of there in terms of their brand new arena, too. It's too bad. But I'm sure the rest of the league is excited to kind of rub some salt in the wounds a little bit of the Warriors after what they did to the league the last few years. So yeah, not the best pick by me.
That's all right.
I feel pretty. I think who else did? So I was high on, I think, the Raptors.
Who they've proven to be good again.
I think that was a good pick. I was negative on the Nets.
If the playoffs started today, the Nets would be the eighth seed.
Yeah, they're very inconsistent, which I guess isn't surprising as they're trying to incorporate Kyrie.
Jury's out on that. You can't fully judge them probably till next season when Durant's back. So,
and then I was negative on the Jazz, who I think that's a bad pick as well, because I think the Jazz are pretty good. Although Conley has struggled.
Conley's been off to a slow start.
I was negative on Conley. He's struggled.
He's off to a very slow start.
But Donovan Mitchell is taking his game to the next level, and that's a pretty damn good team. So, yeah, we'll see. It's been a fun start to the season the last few weeks. And again, like. It's just too bad with the Hayward injury because things were going so well. I mean, 7-game winning streak. Felt a little bit like 2 years ago when they had that 16-game winning streak after starting 0-2. Just a team that just loves to play together. So, like anything else, injuries happen and you have depth for a reason and a chance for some of these rookies to step up and see what they got.
Yeah, and like we said, I think they'll certainly have no problems kind of weathering the storm, you know, keeping the ship afloat the next month or so. It almost makes the upcoming West Coast trip a little more fun, just to see kind of with this group when the first kind of little bit of adversity, granted they didn't want to see it this early in the season after the start they had. But it'll be fun to see how they respond, to kind of see how, you know, we talk about how, you know, coming in the season, we talked about how Tatum almost had to be a 1A, you know, to Kemba Walker. Now, you know, with Hayward having the start he had, Hayward being the best player for them to start the season, you know, can Tatum, I mean, not that Tatum's had a bad start, he's had a great start, but can he elevate his game a little bit more and kind of step up and almost be that alpha, that alpha guy for you? I mean, you have it in Kemba Walker, but a guy in Kemba who's really okay with not being it, but will be it if you need him to be. Let's see if Tatum can be that guy, you know, the next month or so. And, you know, Jaylen Brown's going to pick up the slack, too. I mean, so it's, you know, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. It's just it's lousy at the end of the day.
Yeah. It has been fun watching Tatum. He's definitely a lot stronger than he was last year. He's
just looks different physically. Yeah. And I noticed it first when, you know, I was watching some of the Team USA games. Like, he almost looked taller to me, even though I know he wasn't taller.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was just his shoulders looked even broader than they were.
Yeah.
Like, he just looks better physically.
Yeah.
And he must have had a really, really good summer. You know, and did right by him getting in shape. I mean, we all feel, I think, he's the one who's, you know, can be destined for, you know, stardom. You know, the game against the Bucks. You know, Paul Pierce was back in town and sitting courtside with Whit Grosbeck. And Paul Pierce saying all the same things that so much of what Tatum does reminds, you know, Pierce of himself when he played. But you look at Tatum physically, he's more gifted physically than Paul Pierce was. Like, absolutely. And Paul Pierce would probably be the first one to admit that. So that's kind of a scary but also exciting thing to think about. He's still got a ways to go to, you know, to be Pierce, but he certainly has the capability to do that and even be better.
Yeah.
So let's just, we'll see how that development continues this next year.
Yeah, and where I see it on Tatum is some of those and ones that he has, where he just is able to overpower the guy, get the foul, but still have the strength to square up and make the shot. I've seen him do it a few times this year, where last year he was kind of just having to throw the ball up and didn't really have the strength to finish. So super encouraging for him to get to the line. It's definitely what he has to do, because the threes are there, the outside shots are there. It's just kind of enforcing his will in the paint, and getting to the line is the next step in his development. It's been great to see that so far. And then Jaylen Brown, as we kind of talked about before, like, big contract, and I think some folks were surprised at the dollar amount. And I know he's had that illness, so he missed a few games, but he so far is showing he can be the player to be worth, you know, $30 million a year, given his ability to slash. He can still hit the outside shot. His defense is particularly strong against some of the bigger players in the league, and just the speed that's on the floor when it's him, Kemba, Tatum, Hayward, and Time Lord. I mean, they are just flying around as a group, which is a lot of fun to watch. It's a style of basketball that I certainly enjoy. And I know we're all anti-Kyrie these days, but you know, there were times where the pace was with whatever Kyrie dictated it, right? And sometimes Kyrie was a little slower moving the ball up the floor, and I feel like with the group that we have, speed should be our advantage, and we should be running as much as we can with this group. So,
back to Brown, you know, he's the first rookie, or the first, not rookie, the first Celtic draft pick that got an extension before his rookie deal was up. Like, you know, a market price extension. You have to go back to Rajon Rondo, I think, who at the time, I forget, it wasn't $25 million a year that they gave Rondo, but it was a different time back then.
It was like $40 million.
Yeah, something like that.
4 years.
Right, something like that. But that just shows, and it's the first time since Rajon Rondo the Celtics have done this with one of their with one of their young players. You got to think Tatum, they'll do a similar thing with Tatum. You got to lock up your own guys. You know, I mean, because you've got Kemba locked in. Who knows what happens with Hayward, because Hayward has an opt-out at the end of this year. You know, he was on his way to having a season where you could have almost assured he was probably going to opt out of it, you know, for business, and you can't blame him for doing it. Maybe he still does when he gets back. So you kind of have that little bit of uncertainty with Hayward, too. You had to make the move with Brown, and I think it was the right thing to do. And then also, Pat, I think it also provides you with the stability to be able to include him in a potential deal, whether it's not this year or whether it's next year. Say you still kept Hayward in the fold, Walker, you decide Tatum's here to stay, and you feel there's another piece out there that just makes you a more formidable threat in the NBA. You know, at that dollar amount, someone would take Jaylen Brown in a contract and feel that, you know, that's an attractive piece or a centerpiece in a package. Now, I'm not advocating for sending Jaylen Brown out of town, but just from the business side of things, it's a win-win. You know, you pay him that, he sticks around, he plays well for you, or he's a chip in a deal down the line that, you know, could have to be made.
Yeah. I'm sorry, we get some children crying in the lobby here.
The nerve of these children.
Do we know these children?
We don't. I don't think so.
I don't think we know them.
They don't seem to be very... they're sad to be going home? They're all crying.
Why are they all crying?
I don't know.
Why are they sitting near us? I wish that didn't happen. This is unbelievable. Great podcast material here.
They're big Celtic fans. They're sad Gordon Hayward broke his hand.
They're pissed about Hayward. What do you think the Celtics, in terms of a potential trade, should be thinking this season? I don't think Brown is someone you trade this season.
No.
And Hayward's an interesting case, as you said. Again, he's got one more year player option for $30 million. I think, given the injury, given his history, and maybe even a little bit of loyalty, like the Celtics six stuck by him during that year where he was out, obviously. Like, I could see him opting in and running it back for a fourth year. But it's really center where this team, if they want to compete for a championship this year, is a little bit light. I guess, are there names in the league that kind of jump out to you as potential folks that we should be maybe considering and trying to see if we can make a deal work?
The ones you've heard consistently are, you know, Steven Adams in Oklahoma City. You've been hearing those, you know, even back into last summer.
Would you trade Marcus Smart for Steven Adams?
I don't think I would. I'm not so sure.
It would have to be like a Smart in a way.
No, because you got to package the money together.
I know. Because Adams is making, I think, 20. So you'd have to put Smart's, what, 16?
Right.
With maybe like a Romeo Langford or mm-hmm. some prospect.
Yep. I'm not sure I'm ready to do that. The other name I still even heard, even at the start of the season and after the deal the Rockets made to bring Westbrook in, you still kind of see Clint Capella's name thrown out. And maybe because they just don't feel like that mix really works.
Can Capella play against the Bucks or the Sixers?
Yeah, I don't know.
To Embiid and...
I mean, he's a little bit taller. I know we were just making the comparisons with, you know, him and Robert Williams. I mean, I believe he's a little bit taller than Williams is. He's a little bit, you know...
Weren't the Rockets playing P.J. Tucker at the five?
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, why the Rockets may want to get... But, you know, I guess
my thing is Capella that... It's an upgrade over Robert Williams, but is it that big of an upgrade to warrant Marcus
not.
Smart? Because Smart's
not,
probably
I'm
the
not
name.
So sure it is. And even I don't know if Adams is, to be honest with you. You know, I wonder if the best move is to wait for the buyout market. You know, I don't know. I think if you're playing as well as you are, you don't want to part with any of your, you know, upper echelon players making the money they are to go make a trade for someone who's, you know, like Kevin Love or something like that. You know, just, you know, who's making, you know, close to max money or max money. You got to somehow make it work. I mean, I don't think you could even use Jaylen Brown this year because he's not making his extension money yet. You know, make the numbers work. So I really don't know if there's a deal out there this year. I don't think it happens this year. It may be something you see next year. You know, just because of, you know, the reality of the cap situation, you know, what the Celtics books look like right now. I think Kevin Love is someone Cleveland would definitely like to trade, just because, they're destined to be, you know, a bottom five team, you know, in the league or even outside of that bottom five in that 5-10 purgatory that you're not bad enough to get better.
CeeDee Houseman's actually not bad, by the way.
He's not. No, he's not. He's not.
I watched some of the Wizards Cavs game on Friday night.
Yeah.
See Isaiah. But,
And also, the Cavs kind of put up a fight against the Celtics at the beginning of this week. It took Gordon Hayward's 40 points, you know, to get the Celtics over the hump in that game. And the Celtics and Cavs have seen a lot of each other, so you kind of expected that. They played twice in the preseason right there back-to-back and then to play that quick in the regular season. So. Yeah. You know, a game like that was bound to happen. The names out there that they're talking about trading, like the big names that could potentially get moved, I just don't know what the Celtics have to put together. I mean, they have it, but do they want to include what they'd have to include to get these pieces?
Seems like Marcus Smart would have to be included to make the math work.
He's the only one that has a contract.
He's,
like that.
He's so key to the team in terms of that energy, that defensive mentality. I mean, I could do without his 8 3-point attempts per game, but he's actually making them at a decent clip. I just hate when he does it with 21 seconds on the shot clock and you have guys like Kemba Walker right around you.
I mean, the realistic guys we're talking about, like you said, the Capellas, the Adams, like Smart's not worth it. Is he Kevin Love? I'm not even sure. You know, for someone like Kevin Love, it's not even worth it.
I don't know how we make the math work to get the Love's 30 million.
No, I don't either. I mean, but you'd have to obviously include Smart, and then I don't know, you're just packaging a bunch of things.
Or you'd have to trade like a Hayward, but you don't necessarily get better trading a Hayward for a Love.
No, you don't. You don't. Yeah. You don't. I just don't see what the deal is to be made. I think you're kind of seeing this is the group you're going to see, probably for the year. Like I said, maybe buy a buyout market guy.
Maybe you get like a third Plumlee brother or something in a buyout market.
Something like that to help you, just another body. But I think you're playing with what you got.
Yeah. Any other NBA reactions on your mind? Anything happening out west that jumps out to you? I mean, it's fun to
Lakers
see.
Look pretty good.
Yeah, the Lakers do look pretty good.
I think I picked them as a disappointment, but a disappointment by finishing fourth or fifth in the East as opposed to the top.
They might be number one.
They're looking pretty good. Clippers looking pretty good still without Paul George, and even with Kawhi Leonard's load management situation, they still beat the Bucks without Kawhi.
It's impressive.
So I think the Clippers and the Lakers are definitely your upper echelon in the West, and then it's everybody else. You know, someone else may finish with a better regular season record, but come playoff time, it's going to be those two, unless an injury happens, which certainly can. With the players involved, you know, with those teams, given their history. But yeah, I think LA rules the West this year.
That'll be if they meet in the Western Conference Finals. That will be a crazy series. I mean, I can't imagine we've ever seen something like that. Two teams from the same city. You'd have to go back to I mean, I guess Yankees-Mets World Series back in, was that 2000?
Yeah.
Yep. 99 or 2000. Mm-hmm. You'd have to go back to something like that to see an intra-city matchup going on like that. It's not like the Clippers and Lakers have more of that big brother, little brother rivalry, opposed to like a Brooklyn Dodgers. Well, I guess even the Brooklyn Dodgers and Yankees had the big brother, little brother rivalry. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But should we talk quickly about Patriots?
We could. Bye week for the Patriots.
Yeah, tough loss to the Ravens. The Ravens were the better team.
Yeah, kind of almost saw something like that coming. You know, and it's better to get the loss, you know, to have the loss now than it is later. We get in this stupid talk about 16-0.
I think 2 weeks ago I said very firmly this was going to be like a 14-2 team. There were multiple losses on the schedule the rest of the way. We have another couple tough games.
Still
going
to play Kansas City at home. Still going to go on the road and play Houston on the road.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, 14-2, 13-3, but at this point that's going to be good enough to be the top seed in the AFC. So I think at the end of the day, you know, they'll be sitting atop the AFC with first round bye with home field advantage. But they got some things to figure out on the offensive side of the football. I think the defense, that was just kind of an aberration. I'd expect them to use the bye week effectively and shore up stuff on the defensive side. But the offense is still a little bit of concern there, I'd say. But you know, we'll see how that all plays out. After the bye week, you know, Mohamed Sanu kind of just still incorporating himself. I think him and Brady will just get more on the same page as the season goes on. We'll see what N'Keal Harry does. I mean, they added him to the 53, but he wasn't active for the Ravens game. I probably expect him to be active in the first game after the bye, you know, in Philly. A week from today, which you're going to, by the way. Are you? Likely? You haven't pulled the trigger yet?
I haven't pulled the trigger yet, but it is likely I will be done.
All right, sounds good. So I think you might see N'Keal Harry's debut if you end up heading down that way.
Yeah.
So hopefully he helps, a little bit, but sometimes it takes Brady a little bit to get on the same page with his rookie receivers. Because obviously he's more comfortable with Edelman and Dorsett and, you know, he probably even Sanu just because he's, you know, a veteran. But, some question marks that'll be interesting to see how they sort themselves out the second half of the season here after bye week.
Yeah, I mean, the big takeaways are Lamar Jackson is very, very good and he presents a challenging scheme.
Do you wish the Patriots had taken him in the draft?
I mean, it's hard to play out. I mean, clearly, they could have taken him at, 31, I guess?
Well, they took Sony Michel and Isaiah Wynn in that draft.
Yeah, I mean, I know when he
was... Before the Ravens took Jackson
at 32. Yeah, I mean, I remember when he was on the board at 31, I wanted them to take... I wanted them to trade up and get Mayfield, which may or may not have been the right thing to do.
I blame that just the fact that he's... It's the Cleveland curse.
Yeah, with him. With Mayfield.
I heard a great point made the other day, like... He hasn't even really been coached well yet, in his fairness.
Yeah.
You know, Freddie Kitchens, who, you know, ran the draw play on 4th and 9.
Unbelievable.
The mess that was their coaching staff situation last year. You probably won't see the best of Mayfield until they get someone who knows what they're doing in there.
They might never.
So. And it might never happen.
It might be
too bad for him that he's, stuck in Cleveland. He could handle himself a little bit better. But let's not totally, write the book on Baker Mayfield at this point. I right now, obviously, Jackson looks like the better pick, the better play in the moment.
He was Brady's backup? Yes. Yeah. But, like, I mean, what's happening? He's not playing in that case, right?
So right,
it's hard to play out. Obviously, Michelle has not looked great this year.
Kind of just like another running back.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the Patriots' running back situation is always like a running back by committee.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't really had that stud since Corey Dillon, maybe?
Dillon, probably, yeah.
Probably, was that the last one? True feature back?
I mean, Maroney.
Maroney
had over 1,000 yards 1 year. Yep. What's his name? Who he didn't resign?
Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. No.
These are just prototypical names.
Shane Vereen. Let's throw
Who's the other guy?
He was more of a pass catching back anyway. No, that's the thing. The reason we can't name it is because it's Corey Dillon.
Dillon's the last power
back. The last one they had.
The last, like, bell cow power back that they had.
Yeah.
So Steven Jackson briefly.
Oh, yeah, the Steven Jackson experiment. I forgot about that.
Oh, man.
But that's the way that's the way the Patriots running back situation's always been set up. So, you know, but yeah, we expected more from Sony Michel as a first round pick.
Of course.
Yes. Is he a guy they probably could have gotten further down in the the draft that year than the first round? Yeah, they probably could have.
Yeah. But. So we'll see on that front. I mean, I think Gillette in January is a very different place to play than Baltimore in November. So I'm confident the offense will get its act together. But we will have to figure out a way to stop Lamar Jackson if we play them again, because he was kind of running at will and able to kind of do whatever he wanted from that perspective. So we'll see. As you said, Philly coming up, Chiefs around the corner, Dallas, I think. We play Dallas? Yeah, we play Dallas
too,
right?
We play Dallas the week after so come off the bye week at Philly, and then Dallas at Gillette.
So Dallas is the week before the Thanksgiving?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. So a couple of NFC East matchups. We'll see. It'll be interesting. Hopefully get those wins back going. And then I gotta close with a Mookie Betts rant here. Because for the Red Sox, I mean, I'm happy that J.D. Martinez opted in. But if this means they have to trade Mookie Betts, I mean, I'm just at a loss for words how this is even something that's being considered right now. I think he's a special player. I don't think we've seen a player like him ever in our lifetime. I mean, Ortiz, Ramirez, and Garcia Pera were all really amazing players, but I don't think we've seen anyone with the hitting ability, both for power, both for average, gold glove outfielder, just the energy, joy to be around. I had pulled up a bunch of stats that are on my phone somewhere about he is on a pace that is like, it's Mike Trout, it's Ken Griffey Jr., it's Alex Rodriguez, it's those types of players that Betts is in the conversation with in terms of how he's doing. And again, I'm biased. I named my dog Mookie. Like, clearly I'm on the team Betts. But I will just be incredibly disappointed if they trade him. Because you're not going to get... For a one-year rental, he's got 1 year left. You're not going to get the prospects. And yeah, you'll move your salary cap down. But it's the same argument that they tried to do with Lester, where they traded him to Oakland midseason, and they tried to re-sign him, and he went to the Cubs. And you can't tell me that some of that wasn't the loyalty of, like, hey, you guys traded me midseason. Like, do I really want to come back to you guys? And just getting a taste of somewhere outside of Boston sometimes means that people want to leave after that. So I'm really hoping that Chaim Bloom, the new head of baseball, I think is what his title is. It's so silly how they go away with the general manager title. But I'm hoping that he can push
back.
Well,
they didn't go away with the general manager. They have one. It's the guy who's been in house. He held the general manager title.
But. Yeah.
Chaim is the one in charge. Yeah. Yes.
I'm hoping that he can convince Henry and Warner that this is a special generational player and he needs to stay at Red Sox the rest of his career. And I'm sorry that they signed Sale and Price and somebody's got Eovaldi to these big contracts, but that doesn't mean you can give up your best player. So anyways, I'm not happy about it, but hoping that rationality prevails. And I mean, I understand he wants to test free agency and they don't know if he's going to re-sign, but I think you have to run the risk of him walking away. And again, you get him for next year. This is a World Series contender every year right now. So anyways, I will be extremely disappointed if they make a move, and it will really piss me off to no end if they make a trade.
Yeah. You've heard some reports. I think I read something the other day that that they're almost certainly going to trade Jackie Bradley Jr. because he's getting more and more expensive with each arbitration year. Jackie Bradley Jr. is not the deal that he was. In future years, and given his ineptitude at times with the bat, ALCS 2018, the exception to that. That's one way you're going to see that they're certainly looking to trim the payroll and get under the threshold that they want to get to. And I don't think it's so much even the money is, you know, situation with Betts. It's just what you talked about, like the fear of him walking away or wanting too much money at a number that they don't want to pay. You know, they obviously brought Bloom in here to reshape the farm system. You know, Dave Dombrowski, yes, he came in. He did ownership
he does,
one.
Yeah,
and
he does. What he
came in.
That's what he
won a World Series. That's what they wanted
that's
him to do.
And he
came
in.
He came in, and that's what he did. And you had to have known how he was going to do it. Like, they certainly want, you know, to replenish the farm system. Trading someone like Betts would likely would yield you those guys back in return, or at least a couple of them, or at least who knows? You know, you don't know. And maybe that plays into their reasoning to it as well. I think it'd be a shame if he was if they traded him, but they may also be thinking. You look at the years last year. I know, despite but it wasn't nothing to do with the offense. It was pitching, and we know that why last year's team, finished where they did. I mean, you had Devers and Bogarts have All-Star seasons.
Yeah,
and I don't know whether they feel like those two, along with J.D. Martinez, is enough offensively, to carry you through. And do they feel that they need someone like a Mookie Betts? Again, I'm not totally. I'm playing devil's advocate here. I'm not subscribing that this is my feeling, but they might feel that it's not that it would be ever okay to trade a Mookie Betts or something that you want to do, but it makes it easier for you to bite the bullet, knowing what Devers they feel is becoming, what Bogarts is becoming. Again, a situation where Bogarts already has his contract, but he didn't get fat and happy. You know, he had a great year.
You feel good about 5 years, $100 million for a shortstop like that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So they may feel they have their two young guns on those guys, and then you got J.D. Martinez sticking around. Maybe that's why they feel they can partner the Betts. I don't know, but it's going to be a very, very interesting GM meetings and then winter meetings when that time comes around.
Yep. No. I mean, here's my stats. So Mookie Betts wins above replacement through age 26 season. Here's the top five. 1, Mike Trout. 2, Alex Rodriguez. 3, Albert Pujols. 4, Andrew Jones. That's because he came into the Braves when he was like 20. 5, Mookie Betts. And he's played fewer games than any of them. If you go wins above replacement per game, he's ahead of Andrew Jones. He's 5th behind Ken Griffey, just ahead of Nomar. So your organization does not get better by getting rid of Mookie Betts. Again, if he wants to leave, it will suck for him to leave. I just think they need to do everything they possibly can and match or exceed any offer, because he is worth the $300+ million. But we'll see. Bloom came in and they hired Bloom for a reason, and I hope it's not they hired him because he had the best plan to trade Mookie Betts. Hopefully they hired him because he has the best plan to build this organization and do what they did in Tampa in terms of building from the ground up.
Red Sox rumor that Gene actually posted me yesterday, and I have not heard this remotely, but the Nationals feel one of the teams that's a threat to steal Strasburg away from them in free agency is the Red Sox. How does that happen?
I don't think it can happen.
That doesn't happen unless you trade off a price or a sale in a deal.
But in order to do that,
you got to give someone else something good and to package with that.
I thought sale to the extension.
Right.
Yeah.
But they did. So there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I didn't believe that. Jim seems very convinced about it. That it's a possibility. He said the Padres and the Red Sox. I just don't know where they have the money to do that. And if they're crying poor and we're thinking we're going to trade Mookie Betts away, where's the money to go get Steven Strasburg?
Yeah, it's
like they're certainly not in the Garrett Cole sweepstakes.
No.
So, what makes them think they'd be in the Strasburg sweepstakes?
Cole will be a Yankee.
Strasburg earned almost just as money as Cole with his performance in the postseason. So I don't understand that one. That was just a fun one I wanted to share with you.
Yeah. Well,
I haven't seen that circle anywhere in Boston, but they're obviously talking about it in D.C.
Might have been the fiddleheads talking. on that note, I know you have to get off for some wedding day responsibilities. No live reads from John this time. I think at your bachelor party, he did a couple good ones. Always exciting time to be a Boston sports fan, and we'll hope for a positive diagnosis about Gordon Hayward. Hope the Pats can get back on the winning track in Philly next week. I'll probably be there. And then, of course, we'll see what happens in the Mookie Betts sweepstakes. I can't change my dog's name. My dog will be named Mookie, so I hope I have a Boston player to root for with that same name going forward. So on that front, looking forward to a fun day.
Yeah.
We'll have to make another live pod coming
up
soon.
Let's go, John.
Let's go, John. And looking forward to hitting some Celtics games.
Don't leave Becca out. That was
of course, John and Becca. And we'll have to hit some Celtics games soon, and yeah, looking forward to it.
Let's go.
All right.